It's time for Cofield and Company. Live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar, inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
Yeah, all right, here we go. Friday. Fun. It is Friday. Alex White here with us. Christopher helping out back in the Findlay Toyota Studios. Griffin, it's Cofield and Company. Here is Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside TI Vegas. Come on by. We got prizes, free parking, one of the best perks on the strip because you know that doesn't exist anywhere. 55-plus TVs. And in a matter of like 55 minutes, the biggest preseason NFL game in the history of the world.
Wow.
Is that too much?
That was a lot.
Okay, well, does it not feel like that with the hype lead up to Shedeur Sanders playing, which he's getting a chance to start the game, showcase his skills, but people are mad. They're the same people who are mad that he slipped in the draft. I'm so confused.
Right, this is the time that he is supposed to compete for his spot, right? And I love it. I keep hearing, well, he's not going to have the starting O-line, so we'll see how he does. Like, did you not see what he played behind for 2 years in Colorado? Like, let's give him a shot. See what he's got today.
Oh, I thought the complaint was he's going to play with the ones, and he hasn't practiced with the ones. So now the ones weren't good because he didn't practice with them, which, by the way, isn't accurate. The twos now, he's getting the second level line, so that's not fair.
Oh.
Who do they want him to play with?
So that is why? Because that's who he's been practicing with?
It's not accurate.
Oh.
It's just not. It's not reality. And we played a bunch of bites yesterday. Do me a favor, Griffin. Sorry, it's last notice, but I'm just thinking of it again. Give me the Stephen A. Smith bites when you're ready. This week, a bunch of people started in with the Browns are setting him up for failure. And the notion was, well, he hasn't had a chance to practice with the ones. I don't believe people have been to football practice who say that. When you watch a football practice, one, in the drills, they're throwing to all the receivers.
Right.
Like, they don't sit there and have throwing drills, and they're like, only the twos and threes over here for Shedeur, and the ones only get balls from Flacco. No, in drills, they get to throw to everybody. By the way, you can also work on the side before and after practice with the ones. There's also 11s where they rotate. There's 7s where they rotate. Quarterbacks get to throw and work with everyone. Now, in 7s, you're not working with the offensive line. But in 11s, you're working with the offensive line. This is so elementary, and it's so obvious that people haven't been to football practice or played football. They have no idea what they're talking about. And yesterday, and again, if this is the flag that he wants to plant and Shedeur is some kind of victim, so Stephen A. is going to pick up for him, you can keep doing it, but it sounds stupid.
I think he's being set up to fail. That's right, I'm going to say it.
Mm, okay.
Here we are on national television, right? There's been 11 practices, if I remember correctly. He's been starting against he's been playing against the third unit. He's fourth on the depth chart. And then suddenly you throw him into the start lineup, and he hasn't had any reps with the first team at all. Think about that. So you're just going to throw him to the wolves like that, huh?
Any reps with the first team at all? That's stupid. You didn't check with anyone at Browns camp. You haven't been to practice. You don't understand how football practices work. Give me cut two.
And then all of a sudden, he's starting tomorrow night. It's like you want him to fail. I'm not accusing the coaches of doing this. I'm not accusing the GM of doing this. But that owner, Mr. Haslam, that different animal right there. Mr. $230 million guaranteed deal to Deshaun Watson. And then he's going to come out this time around. I had nothing to do with this pick. I didn't have anything to do with it. I mean, that wasn't me. That was GM Barry. That wasn't me.
If you believe for 1 second that Jimmy Haslam is giving instructions to Kevin Stefanski on who he needs to play in a preseason game, you're lost.
It's so wild. I mean, we just had a preseason game yesterday where the plan was to have both Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones play. Right? Because they have a quarterback competition, and everybody knows that the Browns have a quarterback competition going on. So why?
I truly believe that Shedeur is actually playing for the highest potential right now coming out of training camp to be the two. I think Kenny Pickett could be traded. Dylan Gabriel's hurt. And Kenny Pickett's actually dinged up as well. They're not healthy. He's got a grand opportunity here. He slipped in the draft because of his own doing and his dad's actions. He went to a team that needs a quarterback, is looking for a quarterback of the future. This is a golden opportunity. Somehow, Shedeur Sanders has been painted as a victim once again. I think tonight's going to be great. I think he's going to get a chance to showcase what he can do. Is it going to be easy? No, it wasn't easy last night for Ashton Gentry, was it?
No, it definitely wasn't easy. So, I agree, because I was shocked when he slipped that far. Like, skill-wise and, you know, following college football, I really was surprised.
I mean, I'll go back. I made the prediction last August. I made a bet with one of my friends in Denver that I thought Shedeur would fall out of the first round. No one else in the country, no one else on earth said that, only me. And he did wind up slipping out of the first. And a lot of my reasons were I thought Colorado was actually going to have a lousy season. They had a good season. But I also thought that being Deion's kid was not going to help him, that there's going to be a lot of drama around. I never expected Shedeur to mishandle the pre-draft stuff and Deion to mishandle the pre-draft stuff the way they did. Teams were turned off. Browns gave him a shot. He's got a shot now. He's with a lousy team. This is a golden opportunity. And, you know, the other notion that, like, the third or fourth string quarterback starting a preseason game is setting him up to fail. This is the history of the NFL. Do you watch the preseason? I mean, you know this better than anyone. If you're trying to bet the National Football League in the preseason, what's one of the first factors you look at?
Oh, yeah. You got to go through the depth chart and see if the starters are going and know the head coaches. And, I mean, because we know Dan Campbell doesn't typically play his starters ever in the preseason. And, yeah, it's a lot of reading. And
immediately
up.
Take a gander at the depth chart at quarterback. You want to see if there's good two, threes, and fours. And if they're going to play, like I thought last night, there were a lot of reasons why I liked the Seahawks in the game, plus whatever it wound up being, plus five, plus five and a half, four and a half, whenever he got the number, because I liked their backup situation, and I figured Jalen Milroe is going to want to be showcased, and he's gonna play his ass off down the stretch. Now, the problem was the Raiders did mount a hell of a comeback. They did a really good job, and I'll have to tell a betting story later on. I could not believe what was going on last night. I'm like, this is the preseason, and we're watching this game like it's the Super Bowl. It was nuts. I'll tell you that in the 5 o'clock hour, but it's a really weird angle here. Another cool thing going on this weekend is we're going to get to see first opportunity of Travis Hunter in the National Football League. We think he's going to play in the game. We think he's going to play both ways.
That is pretty cool. I don't have very high expectations for the Jaguars this year. I think it's going to take some time, but, yeah, I'm excited to see that.
Is he going to play more defensive back, which is what I thought he would play? It sounds like they're actually grooming him to play maybe more receiver.
That's what it sounds like.
Do you
to
like
me
that?
Too. I don't know if I am an expert enough at positions in football to say if I like it or not. I don't.
Well, I don't think you have to be an expert to say if you take a guy in the top five and he can play lockdown cornerback,
yeah,
and be, say, a top eight cornerback in the NFL, he probably should be playing cornerback, and the wide receiver should be kind of the junk part of it. But they're very much sold. I suppose they believe that he can be a top-notch receiver. You know, we were talking to Field Yates, ESPN football guy, ESPN fantasy expert, earlier in the week, and he said in fantasy football, he's like, don't pass on this guy because he may be a really good, productive receiver. I have to see it before I believe it. You know, Liam Cohn might be a different sort of cat, though. He might be, and he's an offensive coordinator background-wise, so he might be a little slanted on this, where
right.
He's like, hey, I'm using this weapon as best I can on offense. I would play him on defense 80% of the time, and I'd give him, you know, 15 snaps on offense. But it sounds like they're going to go not opposite, but maybe it's like 70-30 offense.
I don't know. It's funny because it's such a passing league right now, right? So that can go two ways. And I think I like what you're saying in that you want him to be a defender if he's top-notch there to help prevent the other side. But I don't know. It's interesting.
So Raiders wind up in a tie. Go ahead, Griffin.
I was just going to say, you look at the last few seasons with the Jaguars and what has it been their thing? Travis Lawrence being the franchise
quarterback.
Trevor Lawrence wind up being the franchise quarterback. They want him to succeed amongst all else. They want the team
to
win.
Point.
But they need Trevor Lawrence to kind of shine as like their Justin Herbert. So I kind of see why they're going to focus on Travis Hunter helping the offensive side of the ball. But you're right, Steve. I think if you've got that skill set, I think that's the most value is at cornerback.
So the Raiders last night wound up in a tie against the Seahawks, 23 up. They fall behind badly. 16-3 probably wasn't even indicative of how the game was going. Seahawks took that lead. That was through the middle of the second quarter. One of the things people were looking for, I'll admit, I did not expect Pete Carroll to play the starters very much. He played them more than even I thought. And, you know, one of the guys who went out there and just kind of didn't look great, but I think a lot of it was because of the avalanche on the offensive line. Ashton Genty went out, 3 carries, lost a yard total. Pete Carroll talked about it this morning, about the struggles in the run game.
We didn't get going. You know, we're real, real basic. We ran the most fundamental plays you could run in in our format of going through the preseason. It'll continue to be pretty basic just to keep our edge, you know, for the openers in the first 3-4 games. The teams don't know who we are, and so they're going to have to find out as we go. So we were real basic, and we didn't get the kind of movement that we wanted. And like Ashton didn't get a chance. So we picked up a little bit of an edge later in the game, and you saw us hitting the line of scrimmage pretty well. And I thought both our Collier and the Lobby did a really nice job hitting the line of scrimmage and moving the piles and things. So there'll be a lot of improvement there.
So Raiders got better as the game went along. They finished with 104 on the ground, 4 yards a carry. Genty, like I said, 3 carries, 1 yard. There's jabronis all over the internet who are jumping on Ashton Genty, saying competition he played in college sucked. Now you're seeing what the deal is. Do I buy Pete Carroll 100% about running basic plays? Not really. I mean, I'm sure they didn't throw anything real exotic out there. They are also doing a lot of shifting on the offensive line, but last night early, it didn't look good. I wouldn't freak out. And I wouldn't freak out about it being Genty's fault. I think the O-line is very much in flux, and they got to get this going. And they don't have a lot of time. You know, obviously, only 2 more preseason games, and then regular season kicks off on, September 7th? 7th, 8th, whatever. Yeah. So, time is short here. The O-line's got to get it together.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think if you do follow football, you know that that's where it starts and how your run game gets going. So I don't think that he should be getting all this hate. I thought it was kind of funny with the Seahawks trolling him, and I kind of like it because he's a hard worker. So
that was a fired up atmosphere last night for a preseason game. The Seahawks were fired up. That crowd was amazing. You'll hear some of the highlights later on. The crowd had to stay there through the end of the game. Incredible. They were so loud on that final field goal attempt by the Raiders. Alex is here. It's Cofield. Mark McMillan is up next. He'll get into what he saw in the Raiders game, including that run game, which early was not good.
Former NFL cornerback and Next Level Chef contestant Mark McMillan joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Shedeur Sanders playing here in a little bit with the Browns. Preseason opener for the Browns. As I said to open the show, biggest preseason game in the history of football. Especially the way it's being hyped up, because there's so many people I don't think who have been to football practice or have been to a Browns practice who are making assumptions about Shedeur Sanders, and they're just wrong. So I got to bring on a guy who goes to practice, works with kids, played the game, played at Alabama, played in the NFL. Mark, what's going on right now? It's pretty crazy. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. You're spot on with that. It will be the number one rated preseason copy of all time. And I think more people are going to be tuned in to see him fail rather than see him do well, which is crazy to me. Like, it's like the kid pissed off the world for just being the Sanders. So yeah. I hope he does well. I hope he does well. Like I said, you go to these practices, it's like me going to the Raiders practice, and Aiden O'Connell's having a good day, had a so-so day. Then you look in the game, and he's throwing picks all over the place. It's like, you just don't know until you get into the game. And like I said, hopefully the kid does well. I know he's going to be excited. It's going to be interesting to see how the offensive coordinator uses him, probably give him some quick throws, let him hand the ball off as well, and, maybe take a deep shot here and there. But everybody's going to be tuned in, Steve.
It's crazy. And, my practice reference is to guys like Stephen A. and Lou Riddick, and Louis Riddick played in the NFL. I mean, I respect him, but they have this angle of he's been set up to fail because he's not able to practice with the ones and the twos, and I don't think that's factually correct. I mean, you were in the NFL. You currently go to practices now. There's a lot of rotating and a lot of crosswork with all the quarterbacks, with all the players on offense.
Yeah, and like I said, I was going with, the twos, the threes, the ones, my first part of my career, and you know, especially my rookie year, you know, first time I got a chance to be with the Ones, I'm in there with Reggie White, and I'm like, whoa, you know, but, you know, it was just like for two or three plays, just, you know, just to get to see the speed of the game and see how these guys go at and where they're going to be at. You know, the game changes when you get the Ones in there. So, you know, if he's given an opportunity, and as a player, that's all you can ask for when you've been drafted so low, you got everything against you. I think he's just going to turn into a positive, like, hey, I have an opportunity to play in the National Football League and make a statement and try to make the team, you know, because there's no guarantee for him to make the team. So this is a golden opportunity for him. I would say when they threw me out there into the woods, I didn't say they set me up to fail. I think they gave me an opportunity, and that opportunity turned into an 8-year NFL career.
Mark, I want to ask you about another backup quarterback, and that's Tanner McGee for the Eagles. Lit it up last night, 20 for 25 with 252 yards. Don't want to overreact too much, but what did you think of the Stanford quarterback?
You know what? He's been doing this since high school. I've been knowing him since he was a freshman at the Corona Centennial in California. Then he went on to Stanford. You know, he did his mission and all that. So he is well-schooled, man. This kid is a great kid. I love everything about him. I see how he rose about already. He's like, hey, I'm not trading this guy. Because there's some teams out there that saw that performance last night. But he filled in last year as well. You know, he played a couple of games. He played well. Kid's like 6'5", 6'6". He's got a strong arm. And you're playing with the Eagles. You know, you're playing behind one of the best lines. You're practicing against the best players on defense. You got weapons all over the place. So I think he did, you know, Eagle Nation is nervous right now, so they're thinking like, man, somebody's going to offer some draft picks to get him up out of there.
Mark McMillan is with us. You know, we didn't get to talk about the Jacorian Bennett trade much, and generally Howie Roseman is kind of mastered personnel, so a lot of people were thinking, hey, the Raiders made a mistake here, but Bennett's kind of interesting. He's a different sort of player than Pete Carroll wants to work with. Do you think the Eagles got a great deal? Did they fleece the Raiders on this one?
You know, the last couple of years, Steve, I can't doubt Howie. He has not missed in like the last 4 or 5 years, you know, when he's picking up guys. And, you know, Vic Fangio, you know, he's playing with one of the best defensive coordinators. And you look at Ringo, and you look at Adoree Jackson last night. Those guys didn't play really well in the corner. So Bennett is coming to a really good situation where he's not going to have to cover long because they got the best D-line in the NFL as well. So he just got to go out there, be solid, be physical the way he is. Pete Carroll likes the long, tall guys, like the Richard Sherman guys. So that's what he has. But just because you're 6 feet, 6'2", doesn't mean that you can go out there and play on that corner, Steve, because there's some receivers out there that's really fast and really quick. And usually the tall, long guys can't get in and out of their breaks as quick as the smaller guys.
Chef Mark is with us. All right, let's talk about this game last night against the Seahawks. First of all, Genty got 3 carries, got swallowed up. I wouldn't say there's panic about the offensive line, but this is definitely something the Raiders got to get right, and they got to get it right quick.
No, it should be panic. I know a lot of people's like, hey, it's the first game, but they got abused up front. You know, they were getting pushed around. There was no pressure. You know, the quarterbacks are sitting back there, man, drinking on their Starbucks coffee that they got, you know, outside the stadium. You know, Starbucks big in Seattle. So, you know, they didn't have any kind of pass rush. I would say Polamalu had a nice pick later in, I think it was the first quarter, coming off the hash, you know, made a diving catch. But, you know, you got to win up front. And if you don't have those horses up front, man, I don't care who you got on the back end. So they got to solidify that. They didn't look physical at all. You know, in training camp, they don't hit. So I got the same performance that I see these guys in practice, hitting beanbags and bags and rolling all over the floor. But you know, when it comes to live bullets, man, you got a guy on the other side that's trying to get a job.
I want to switch over to college a little bit. You went to a UNLV practice, right? What'd you think?
I'm impressed. I saw Steve later. Steve's been going all week, so I've always picked his brain to kind of catch back up with the team and some of the players. And, you know, with the transfer portal, I think they said they got 70 new guys in. So you got 70 new guys, and obviously Steve's been there longer, but what I saw the other day when I was out there is a team that's together already. And these guys are hungry. There's a lot of chirping. I like that mentality that they bring to the table. And guys were getting after it. And I saw more contact at the UNLV practice than I seen in the Raiders game last night. So that goes to show you, like, the DBs were getting after it. Linebackers coming downhill. Their D-line is bigger, stronger, faster. So this team is built for, you know, they got nice depth. So hopefully the offense can get it together, because that defense yesterday, the other day, was kicking their tail.
What do you make of these practices? I mean, for UNLV, they got started early, so you know they're about 40% into the fall camp, and guys are getting pissed, and there's a heated moments, and back-to-back days are heated moments. How do you take that as a player who, you know, who practiced forever, played in the NFL, played in college? What happens in those moments? Does Dan Mullen need to step in, or is it one of those things like, hey, guys, work it out, get it together?
Those guys can police themselves. You look at their roster, they got a lot of transfers, a lot of juniors, a lot of seniors. These guys have been in locker rooms, been in different programs, come from different backgrounds. You let those guys police themselves. You know, in Alabama, we had fights all the time. And Coach Dawkins just said, hey, move the drill over. You know, you guys will figure it out. And, you know, come the first week of the game, you know, you can finally get the frustration out on somebody. But when you're when you're one of these transfers, you transfer to play. And there's some depth and there's some positions that these guys are fighting for. But what I saw at the end of the practice, shout out to Coach Davis for letting me talk to his DBs as well. These guys, man, stayed together, prayed together, and these guys are dead serious. And half of them went to the weight room to lift afterwards. And, you know, you don't normally see that from guys, but I really like what I see with the program. And, shoot, they can fight all they want. You saw Coach Mullen, he just let them go.
What was your message to the DBs?
You know, just being on the next level, just letting them know, like, the last couple of years, this program has been on the rise, and these guys got a golden opportunity to do something special. You know, just don't worry about the big lights and everything on the strip. Just focus on what you got to do. And if they put out another good product, you know, some of these guys are going to have an opportunity to get drafted, because there were like four or five NFL scouts out there. And this is just, they ain't even played a game yet. And that's really not the norm for UNLV football. But to be able to see NFL scouts out there already shows these guys like, hey, man, we got something special here. And just let the guys know, man, just I'll be behind them 100%. Got a couple of guys' phone numbers. You know, they can always reach out to me anytime they want. So I love college football, man. You know, Steve, I'll be at every college game, right there on the sideline with you, man.
Yep. You and I walking up and down the sidelines, getting all fired up. Okay, what are you doing today? You're downtown in Fremont. Is there something going on down there?
Yeah, we got the taco. We got just opened up the new taco restaurant down there, Chef Richard. We did a collaboration. We still got our charity pizza going. I think we over $3,000 right now for the charity pizza that's going to go for Three Square. So I'm excited about that opportunity. Then I'm going to go check out the arena football team tonight. The coach gifted me a couple of tickets. So I'm going to go root on the Hawks tonight, man, over there at the Lee's Liquor Arena.
Nice. Real nice. Garlic hot sauce. It's out?
Oh, it is out, Steve. We'll be at Ace. I know my guy Nick and everybody at Ace Hardware, they're tuned in right now. I'm forever grateful for those guys. I got my barbecue sauce, the olive oil, the spices. And now we have the smoked garlic hot sauce that's available right now in the Ace Hardware stores in the Henderson area. So I'm excited about that. And stay tuned, listeners. We're going to have a wing-eating contest using my spices and my hot sauce. So we're going to get the stations out there. I need TV stations out there. I need Adam Hill. Adam, you might be flying back from Seattle. We need to put Adam in the wing-eating contest, man. I want to see these guys get it in.
He likes his wings, no doubt. All right, Mark, we'll have a good weekend. Have fun down on Fremont. I'll see you sooner than later next week.
All right, go out and get that hot sauce, that Ace Hardware. It's available now. My man Nick just texted me. Let's go.
There he is, Mark McMillan, Grillin' McMillan. He's got a whole series of rubs, seasonings, and sauces. And, again, they're available at local Ace Hardware stores around the Valley. Very cool. The biggest contest in town is back. Circa Las Vegas with Circa Million and Circa Survivor. No rake. All the extra money goes into the prize pool. You can sign up until September 6th at 2 p.m. But don't wait. Sign up now. Circa Million, $6 million in guaranteed prizes. $1,000 to get in. You pick five games against the spread every week. Winner takes home $1 million. Circa Survivor, that is, you're in or you're out, right? You get in now, $1,000, but you pick one team each week. Straight up, it's easy, right? Not that easy. You only get to use that team once a week, so there's a lot of strategy to this whole thing. And you go 20-0 or be the last person standing, you can win upwards of $15 million. You got to get to a Circa Sportsbook in Nevada. That's Vegas Henderson or in the Sparks Reno area to sign up in person. Circa Million, Circa Survivor, Circa Las Vegas is back with their football contest.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, get your spot now for the Browns game tonight. Biggest preseason game in the history of the NFL, at least according to the hype. Shedeur Sanders going to start. We got Detroit Atlanta coming up, the Cleveland Carolina game, and then 30 minutes after that, Washington and New England. We are at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Get on down here, 55-plus TVs, free parking right on the strip. Unreal memorabilia, great drink specials, dynamite menu, including the mini pork wings. They're back. Get the Reuben and a beer. Get the fish and a beer. Tremendous menu, and they keep adding to it here at Treasure Island. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. So we're just talking about UNLV football and expectations, and it's actually around 56 new players in camp. I think they're sitting going into the weekend at like 113 players, so there may be a few that are actually lopped from the roster. That's kind of what college football is now. A lot of comings and goings. Two different takes on UNLV from handicappers and analytics folks. One, I saw JVT, John Von Tobel, post this the other day. ESPN Analytics gives UNLV a 21.3% chance to make the playoffs, the college football playoffs. Betting market says it's more like 6.3%. That's kind of a big gap.
Yes, very big gap. I don't know how much I trust UNLV. I mean, ESPN Analytics, though. So I would lean more towards the odds makers.
Okay. Brad Powers is more with the odds makers and the bettors to this point. He had a list. He's a great handicapper. He's in all these contests. Puts his money where his mouth is. He did power ratings and downgrades since last year. The biggest downgrade he had was Marshall minus almost 12 points. Jack State minus 9.5 points. He actually has UNLV as the third team on that list with biggest downgrade in power ratings at minus 9.4. Do you understand that?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's just so much turnover, right, that it makes it tougher to fully handicap these teams. But I think with the question mark at quarterback, too, and the fact that they don't have a set answer yet, right? And
it's still, they had a really good quarterback play the last couple of years when Maiava took over and when Haj Malik Williams took over. I think Calandria combo with Orji can be really good. And I think the cast around them is as good or better than it's been the last 3 years, but there are a lot of questions. I mean, that can change quickly, and obviously power ratings are adjusted week by week.
Right, absolutely.
Now, two notes on there. Two of the other teams in the top 12 teams that he's downgraded the most are Sam Houston at minus 6.4 and Miami of Ohio at minus 6.1. They're actually playing both of those schools early in the season in the first four games. So I guess we're going to find out, you know, what the power ratings look like after week four, and if Brad was right and UNLV is going to have a season closer to 7-5 or 8-4. Because they got to get through the non-con about unscathed to kind of reach the goals they want.
Oh, yeah. I saw something floating around that was kind of calling UNLV last chance U, and was talking about, you know, all these former four-star and five-star recruits that didn't really make it in their first university now coming together here, and I like it. We'll see what they can do all together.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.
We got a lot of baseball to get into. We'll get into it in multiple spots. Grant Mota is going to join us in about 40 minutes with his L.A. report, getting some of the L.A. football stories as well. Alex, it's Cofield. Back in our Findlay Toyota studios, Griffin is working the dials and the slides back there. We talk about all these cool contests in town. Another good one is William Hill Pro Pick'em. $25 entry fee. Get you in on the action for all 18 weeks of the regular season. All you got to do is pick the winning teams. No point spreads. Over $1.2 million in cash prizes. If you buy four entries, you get a fifth for free. And there's $10,000 up for grabs each week. Get in today. Got to get in by Sunday, September 12th. Let me double check on that one. That would be Sunday, September 8th. WilliamHill.us, WilliamHill.us to get more information for the Pro Pick'em for William Hill. And make sure you sign up for the William Hill mobile sportsbook app. All right, Ryan McKinnell's with us. I think a full spot of wrestling here. I thought it was a massive week in the world of WWE and wrestling. Ryan, what's up, buddy?
How's everybody doing? Happy Friday. Yeah, it was a rather eventful world of pro wrestling.
Okay, right out of the gates, there is a new TV deal on the horizon with WWE. So what's going on here with the mix with ESPN?
Well, it looks like they're doing a deal much like the UFC is looking to do. Take their product and put it on many different platforms, right? Like Mac. Which is what they call pay-per-views. They're going to be on.
All right, Ryan having some phone issues, so we'll try to hook up with him. Griffin, if we can, rebook it for 4 o'clock, and we'll switch around the show a little bit. All right, some things I want to get into. Like I said, baseball coming up here in about 40 minutes. But I continue to miss, like, hitting the mark on social media. I have no idea what hits. I think I'm way too in the bubble. In the sports bubble, and I should be better at this, and it's my job. God, I have no clue.
It's so hard. I don't know who really does know. I think.
Well, there are people who know. There's some really good people on social media, and one of the stories that blew up the last day or so in the spring, I'm covering UNLV football practice, and we see that Vontaze Burfict is out there working with the linebackers in a volunteer position, right? Basically, they're bringing him in. They're talking to him. Vontaze Burfict, he's working with the linebackers. He played for Paul Gunther, who's the new DC for UNLV. So the tie is there. When I talked to him, he said he was working with some junior high school kids in the Phoenix area, but he didn't want to get into coaching. Nothing was official. But we posted an interview about 5 minutes with him back in April. And then I get out there, 3 weeks ago for the beginning of UNLV practice, and it's like, oh, yeah, Vontaze is now on the staff as a defensive analyst. The linebacker coach is Bam Amina, young guy who is from Hawaii and Vegas, went to Colorado State, transferred here to play a few years back with Marcus Arroyo. And then he had to medically retire, and he got a chance to go right into being an analyst. And he's got the job. And it looks like he's going to be a really good recruiter because of his ties to Hawaii. I think you need coaches on your staff of all different ilk. The experienced guys who have long ties all over the country. And then a few coaches on the staff who are actually kind of close to the age of the high school kids and the transfer portal kids.
Right.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Now, in Gunther, they have a guy who can pitch NFL up the wazoo, right? Hey, you want to go to the NFL? You come play for Paul Gunther. Now they've got another guy in Vontaze Burfict. Now, I talked to Burfict a little bit about his aggression and keeping it together on the field and how do you teach players to walk that line, because he walked the line and he got in trouble a bunch. Some will say some of his hits crossed the line. Others say just playing hard football, but he had a reputation.
Yes.
So we posted an interview back in April or early May. It was like, okay. And then I see yesterday there's a guy, Justin Williams, who's like, someone just informed me that UNLV hired Vontaze Burfict. Well, I think the listing of the coaches has been out for over a month, the new coaching staff, and additions over the summer. So for me, I'm like, not a big deal. Yesterday, totally blew up. Like, I simply did not process how famous, infamous Vontaze Burfict was when he played.
Oh, my gosh. So you've known about this. You've had an interview. So you're saying you could have had that ready to go when it was the right time.
Well, I probably should have a month ago, like, blown it up and said, Vontaze Burfict is coaching for UNLV. But the thing is, there's so many former pros who coach in college. I just didn't process that people were going to go crazy.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, watch out. People are going to get their heads ripped off. All the comments, they're going to get their heads ripped off in a Mountain West Conference, Dirtiest players in the game now with Vontaze Burfict. Oh, what a match. Burfict and Vegas. And then they've got a player in Justin Flo, who, right before a break, you were talking about the fact that the school is being labeled by some Last Chance U. because they have a lot of guys on the team who have been at two, three, and four stops, two and three. I don't know if there's a four-stop person, but so they're labeling Last Chance U, which I also kind of don't get either, because my connotation with Last Chance U is, and I watched and I liked it, but it's a lot of guys who've had a lot of trouble, and I don't think there's more than a couple who are like bounce back guys of that nature on the UNLV roster. Well, Justin Flo is a guy who, to my knowledge, hasn't had issues, but he was a dude. And I guess this is kind of like Last Chance U. I think, did you watch a lot of that?
No.
If I have the name right, if I'm remembering correctly, Malik Henry is a guy out of California who first committed to Florida State. He was a top five recruit in the quarterback class of whatever year. Well, he wound up landing at with Jason Brown, actually, Last Chance U at a JUCO. And you could see why he had difficulty at his first stop, because this kid's like really strong-headed, just, I mean, out of control with the attitude. And he had a coach who also had an attitude who was going to stream it all the time. So it made for great TV. So long story short, Justin Flo is a guy who was the number one inside linebacker recruit in the country out of California in 2020. He was the number 11 player overall. I mean, UNLV doesn't get that. Oregon does, so he went to Oregon.
Right.
He didn't get a lot of time at Oregon. He transferred to Arizona. Same thing, got some time, but didn't get a lot. So his final year he's spending at UNLV, so I guess Last Chance U, right?
Yeah.
Well, you pair Vontaze Burfict teaching Justin Flo, and if you didn't see it this week, this is another video I posted up on YouTube at Cofield & Company. Just look it up. It's also on Twitter at Steve Cofield at UNLV All Access. When you talk to Justin Flo, he's one of those dudes who is just like, he's a football player. Because and like linebacker football player, because the rep of some linebackers is what? Like in terms of how amped up they are.
Yeah, just like what you're saying. I'm going to rip your
right.
head
I'm
off.
I'm going to rip your head off. Right, Griffin? I mean, you come across linebackers over the years where you're like, bro, you are nutty as a fruitcake.
Yeah, I always try to meet that energy. I always try to give them back that same, you know, I used to call linebackers, especially on my own team, you know, the little boys. Little boys back there handling, you know, business while the big boys up front do the real work. But they were some crazy, you know, without cussing, they were some crazy dudes back in the day. I've always loved my linebackers. And, yeah, man, you gotta be a gnat. You got to have a little something unhinged inside you to be able to play that position. You got to be able to be physical while also be quick and be able to be in coverage. So, you know, honestly, some of my favorite teammates in my past have been linebackers.
I mean, there's a lot of times you're coming downhill trying to get to a runner or the quarterback. There's other times the running back is coming at you with basically, you know, full speed. In the case of UNLV, they've got one running back, Kevon Lee, who's just gigantic at 6 foot and 6'1", like 225. I've seen a couple of times where Lee got out in the open and Flo was going at him, and I'm like, holy crap, if this were like full contact practice, that would have been a hell of a collision. During the week, Justin Flo, there was someone caught a ball over the middle, and he converged on him, and he had to like slide by. Oh, man! Oh, I couldn't hit him! I couldn't hit him! And you're like, okay, bro, it's practice. Like, Griffin, he was going crazy. Like, this is awesome. So the big thing with Burfict on the staff is people are like, holy crap, Justin Flo, if he's going to get a lot of playing time with the UNLV and Vontaze Burfict, what could this guy be? So
that's awesome.
But I didn't – all of this
yeah.
did not process when a month ago it was like, oh, Burfict is back. He actually is on the staff. Oops. Didn't nail that one.
That's okay.
it's actually not.
We'll get the next one.
It's a pretty bad miss.
I want to say, too, real quick about Vontaze Burfict. When I set that topic in this morning, the article that I got it from, after, you know, explaining the whole news, breaking news, quote unquote, they went in to talk about, you know, all of his suspensions in the NFL, talk about how he had the longest suspension in the history of the NFL and the money he lost from all those suspensions. So the article definitely, I feel, had a very, you know, had a very biased view of this.
Well, I mean, that's his story.
Yeah.
You know, that's his story. I kind of filed it away. It's like, he's retired. He's older. He's actually not that old. But, yeah, the details on it, he got suspended in the NFL, you know, the total of 22 games, 14 separate incidents, got fined a total of $5.3 million over 8 years. Last one was a 12-game suspension with the Raiders in 2019 for a personal foul on former Colts tight end Jack Doyle. I mean, he has a reputation. Does that mean he's going to be teaching that? No. Doesn't mean he's going to be teaching, like, aggro approach at linebacker? Yes. I will tell you this, and Perfect is also, like, 14 years older than Justin Flo. You talk to Justin Flo, and again, this kid's a 6'2", 225 linebacker out of California, went to Oregon, went to Arizona. He is, like, bug-eyed for half the conversation. You're like, bro, are you listening to me? Like, he looks like he's amping it down a little bit so he doesn't fold you in half. When I talked to Perfect, I actually was kind of taken aback. So I think I said to him during the interview, we probably should replay the interview at some point next week. But I said to him, I was like, you actually seem like a nice guy, which is not an insult. But he was like, okay.
Yeah, you weren't terrified is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, Alex, I'm not really terrified of anyone. But I'm really not, because I don't expect to get swung on even if I ask a goofy question. But it's cool. It's a cool addition.
Yeah,
and
it's great.
He's a guy who I'm sure can get in front of kids, and maybe if the kids don't know who he is, the parents will. Gunther, from what I've heard already, has kind of gotten into the flow of the whole recruiting game. I would guess that Gunther, coming from the NFL, and he was at DC with the Raiders, that Gunther's mindset coming in was like, well, do I really want to coach college kids because I have to recruit? Do I want to recruit? And I think, from what I hear, he quickly picked up on the way to recruit is I coach in the NFL.
Right.
Like, do you want to learn how to play well enough, learn the techniques, learn the skills, learn the approach, be mature enough to go into the NFL? Well, I've been there. And by the way, here's the guys I've coached over the years. Start listing all the superstars he's coached, which, you know what, Alex, in a lot of ways is what Dan Mullen leans on. Because the more players I talk to, and you're like, why'd you come to UNLV on your bounce back or your third stop? And they're like, well, I mean, it's Dan Mullen. Like, look at the guys he's put in the NFL.
Yeah.
So he can – I forget what the number is. He mentioned it, or someone mentioned it to me. Like, Mullen's been responsible, and it might be current contracts. It's something like $275 million in contracts in the NFL now. But, you know, leading the way are Dak Prescott and Chris Jones, who were both not mega recruits at Mississippi State. But he found a way to get them, you know, turn them into really good players. 4 o'clock hours on the way. It's Cofield and Company. We're live here. Alex White, Steve Cofield. So we're hanging out at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island.